Amen. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning, please, with me. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, if you would, while you're turning there. We do want to welcome those visiting with us today. We're glad to have Dakota with us and his mom. We're glad to have Becky here as well. Good to have you today. Thank you for coming, being part of our service. Once you know, you're always welcome. All right, we are in Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 and 2, and you can follow with me in your Bible, if you would, please. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. As we come together today in this place that you have graciously and generously provided for us, we come to praise you and to sing songs to your name, to your glory. We come to pray and we come to hear the word of God, and we come, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person here, every person watching, every person listening. But Lord, we might glean from your word that which would be profitable to us as Christians, helpful to those around us, and glorifying to you. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your truth, and that, Father, we'd be challenged and would be changed, would be convicted and would be comforted. I just pray that you'll do that which is pleasing in your sight. We give you all the glory and all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here likens, or the writer of the Hebrews, I have believed it was Paul. There are many reasons for that. There's some dispute about that among Bible scholars, but not being a scholar, I guess I can just give my opinion. But the Word of God likens the Christian life to a race. The starting line is salvation. The finish line is glory. In between is the race. Now, we've heard about setting aside those things which slow us down and hinder our progress. We've heard about running a race with patience. And we've heard about the course, the race that is set before each one of us by the Lord Himself. You are running your race. We've heard about staying in the lane. We've heard about running according to the rules. But today, I want to look at running the race while looking unto Jesus. He is our example. He is our motivation. He is our standard. But He needs to also be our focal point. We need to keep our eye on the road, so to speak. Have you ever missed a turn? Have you ever passed by your destination? It's usually because we got distracted. Or maybe we weren't paying attention. We were in the right direction. We were close to where we wanted to be, but somehow we got distracted and missed a turn. We went by that place we were going to stop at. Well, the Scripture tells us that we need to be sober and vigilant and awake while we run our race, because there are obstacles and opponents and obstructions to go through and to go around. Like an orchestra has to keep its eye on the conductor, and the athlete has to keep his eye on the coach, the Christian needs to keep his eye on Christ. The world is full of distractions that tempt us to get our eyes off of Jesus while running our race. And the Holy Spirit is admonishing these Hebrew believers to run their race right to the middle, right in the middle, in between that race, between glory and between salvation. And He places these two verses in between a great list of heroes of the faith, from Abel to David in chapter 11. And now in chapter 12, following these two verses, He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as an example. Now, in our race, we're told to look unto Jesus in verse 2 of chapter 12, and we're told to consider Him in verse 3. We look unto Jesus for everything. We need Him in order to run our race. We need Him in order to fight the fight. We need Him in order to keep the faith. And as I was meditating on this, I thought of different kinds of runners or Christians that I have seen and known in my years in the ministry. I looked at myself and at them and wondered why we're so often get off the course. Why we're so often the cause of missteps. And sometimes we affect others. Sometimes we have detours and wasted energy while running our race. And I realized that there are different kinds of Christians. And what makes them different is that upon which they are focused. And so if you would allow me, I want us to ask ourselves today, what kind of Christian am I as I run this race? And what kind of Christian do I want to be? And so as we look at these different kind of Christians, we'll ask ourselves those questions. The first Christian that I want to look at today, I have labeled the roller coaster Christian. By roller coaster Christians, I mean a Christian whose Christian life is up and down and up and down and up and down in widely varying directions. They can be on fire for the Lord, and then they can be as cold as a clam for God. They're up, and man, they're up. But when they're down, they're down. They will live for God and come to church and get involved, and then you won't see or hear from them for who knows how long. You can't really count on them for any length of time because you don't know how long they will be on the up part of the roller coaster or when they'll start careening down into the bottom of the roller coaster. When they're up, they have joy. When they're down, they're discouraged. When they're up, they witness. When they're down, they're silent. When they're up, they serve. And when they're down, they disappear. When they're up, they look right, sound right, and live right. And when they're down, they don't. When they're up, their countenance is bright. But when they're down, it is dark. They go from positive to negative to positive again. Now, we praise the Lord for them when they're up, and we need to pray for them when they're down. But what might be the problem? The problem, I believe, is who or what they're looking unto. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. Right after the Bible says running our race, it says looking unto Jesus. I found that often the problem is with roller coaster Christians that they're focused on themselves and not on Christ. They're looking unto themselves and not unto Jesus. They follow their feelings, their instincts, their conscience, or their hearts. They've taken on the philosophies like this: let your conscience be your guide. Or trust your instincts. Or if it feels good, do it. Or just follow your heart. And that's a clear prescription for roller coaster Christianity. When it comes to instincts, the great prophet Hosea said, "And my people are bent to backsliding." Your instincts aren't going to take you up to higher ground. When it comes to the heart, the great prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When it comes to the conscience, the Bible says that the natural man's conscience is defiled in Titus. It's evil in Hebrews 10, and it is seared in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when it comes to feeling, the born-again Christian is not to be dependent on what he or she feels, but on what he or she knows from the Word of God. If we're going to go by instinct, heart, conscience, and feelings, is it any wonder we can be up one day and down the next day? The Bible never asks, "Don't you feel it?" The Bible always asks, "Don't you know it?" The Bible doesn't ask us to feel. The Bible asks us to know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may feel. No, that you may know that you are the sons of God. When we live by our feelings, life will be a roller coaster and it will be a confusing thing to those who are unsaved and watching. Because one day, you'll be talking about Jesus, you'll be witnessing for Jesus, and the next day, they can't even tell you're a Christian. Why? Because one day you felt saved, the next day you didn't feel saved. One day, your heart was full of joy because of your circumstances and situations, the next day, it isn't because things have changed. You following me? This Christian's focus is themselves, and they're regulated by their own subjective feelings. When we're focused on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we are on a sure foundation and securely standing on a solid rock. When we're on the sure foundation of Christ and we're on the solid rock, my dear friends, we won't be up and down and up and down. I know everybody has some ups and downs, amen, it's life. But is your Christian life like this? Or is it like this? The second Christian I want to look at tonight. Today, the first one was the roller coaster Christian. But the second one I call the rolling pin Christian. You know, there are some who are what I call rolling pin Christians. This is, they're always carrying around a rolling pin to hit someone else on the head with it. We have a God, but their God is the God who's out to get you. That's their philosophy of Christianity. They look at God as someone who just is waiting for you to step out of line, just waiting for you to make a mistake, just waiting for you to mess up so He can hit you with a rolling pin. They have the sons of thunder mentality, calling down lightning from heaven on other people. They generally see the negative and the faults and the failures and the foibles and the shortcomings of others. Always looking at the dark side of the cloud. They see everything, every misfortune as God's judgment. They ascribe the worst motives first without any knowledge, understanding, insight, compassion, or all the facts. They see everything as God's judgment or God's some kind of God's punishment. I've known some who even say, like, if you ever get the flu, it's God's punishment. If you ever get sick, it's God's punishment. If you ever fall down, break a leg, it's God's punishment. Rolling pin Christians, you've probably met some like that. One time there was a lady in our church, she got cancer. And a guy told me, well, she must be wrong with God. She's got to have some big sin in her life or she wouldn't have got cancer. That's a rolling pin Christian. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. God never promised us we wouldn't have troubles. God never promised us we wouldn't have afflictions. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we don't get sick. It doesn't mean we don't stub our toes or break an ankle from time to time. But the rolling pin Christian wants to use that as an opportunity to whack you with the punishment and judgment of God. They usually see themselves as the paragon of virtue and the pinnacle of spirituality in whom is deposited all biblical knowledge and wisdom. There are more law and judgment Christians than they are mercy and grace Christians. They lose sight of God's love and His forgiveness and long-suffering, preferring to see the God of Mount Sinai more than the God of Mount Calvary. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, the rolling pin Christian says when you're out of fellowship with God, he's going to beat you back into fellowship. But you know what the Bible says? Sometimes the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. The focus of the rolling pin Christian is others, especially their failures. And they feel that it is their ministry and duty to straighten you out. And they like to play Holy Spirit. It's easier to see the faults in others than the faults in ourselves, isn't it? It's easier to tell everyone else how to live than to live it ourselves. It's easier to inform others as to what they should do and how they should do it than actually do it. When we're focused on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we will find Him plenteous in mercy and glorious in grace. And we will hold out our hand in loving help instead of reaching out with a rolling pin to put them in their place. And so there is the roller coaster Christian, living on their feelings. There's the rolling pin Christian that's just waiting for you to mess up so they can correct you and pronounce the judgment of God on you and maybe call lightning out of heaven. But then number three, there's the rolling on the river Christians. Now picture, if you will, a raft on a calm and slow-flowing river on a warm and sunny afternoon. There's no waves, no ripples. The sun's not too hot and a nice gentle breeze is blowing. Don't you all want to be there? And don't you all want to live there? But you can't live there because that's not reality, is it? But rolling on the river Christians are those who do not want to make any waves. They don't want to encounter any storms. They don't want to have any inconveniences in their life. Therefore, they will compromise and capitulate in order not to rock the boat. They have the philosophy of go with the flow. Leave good enough alone. When in Rome, hey, it's the 21st century. Or, if you can't beat them, join them. They would rather give in than stand up. They would rather acquiesce than assert. They're willing to be politically correct, culturally accepting, and worldly indulgent. But Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That word weary, a synonym for that word is tired. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of doing what's good. For in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. That's an interesting word, that word faint. It actually means to relax the bow. And so it's a picture of an archer who has his bow pulled back. And when you first pull it back, not so bad. The first couple of seconds, not so bad. But the longer you hold that bow pulled back, the harder it gets and the more tension starts to mount. And pretty soon you get tired of holding back that bow. And you want to just let it loose. And that's what that picture is, that as Christians we can't get weary in the well-doing. We can't let loose. We can't just give up. We can't give in. We don't acquiesce. We don't compromise. If we're going to live the Christian life, there's going to be tension. There's going to be tension between the flesh and the spirit. There's going to be tension between right and wrong. There's going to be tension between the world and the Word. Listen to this quote of Oprah Winfrey. Now, this is her philosophy, and this is what the rolling on the river Christian, this would be a philosophy that they could go along with. Move with the flow. Don't fight the current. Resist nothing. There are Christians who live like that. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, go with the flow?
Stand.
Here's what the Apostle James says. Resist the devil. You see, the Christian who's a rolling on the river Christian is focused on the world instead of the Lord Jesus. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to rock any boats. They don't want to have any confrontation. They don't want to have any tension. And therefore, they're willing to be silent or compromised or capitulate. When our focus is on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we'll see the power and majesty of God to change and sustain in order that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So here we have this Christian who is the roller coaster Christian, and sometimes they're up for the Lord, sometimes they're down for the Lord. Sometimes they're back up for the Lord, sometimes they're down for the Lord. Then you have the rolling pin Christian. They're always on the prowl, waiting to put you in your place. Then you have the rolling on the river Christian. They don't care, man. Everything's cool. Hey, don't worry about it. Let's just have unity. Let's just have peace, man. But then, number four, we have the risen with Christ Christian. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. The risen with Christ Christians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where who? Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. The Apostle Paul's saying to the Colossians, he'd say, hey, listen, get your focus where it needs to be. Be looking where you're supposed to look and seeing what you're supposed to see. One day Jesus is coming, and we're going to be with Him in glory for all eternity. He came and saved us by His grace. We were sinners on our way to hell, and God saved us by His grace through the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood to pay for our sins, being buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, so that all who had placed their faith in Him could be forgiven and washed and made the children of God and spend eternity in glory. Paul the Apostle is trying to help us understand that if that's the case with you, then you ought to be seeking those things which are above. Your affections ought to be set on things above. I don't know what you think you owe the world, but I know what I owe Jesus. I don't know what the world has for me, but I know what Jesus has for me. Here's the Christian who runs his or her race with their eyes on Jesus. Here's the Christian who has set his or her affections on things above. Here is the Christian who is looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's the Christian who's walking in the light as He is in the light. Here's the Christian who is showing forth the praises of Him who hath called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. When our eyes are on ourselves or on others or on the world, is it any wonder we so easily get off course in running our race? Listen, we each have our own race to run. And we are running it for ourselves. It's your race. Your race is your race. And we're running it, really, for Jesus, aren't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now listen what Paul says. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. But yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see this Christian? This Christian is saying, you know what? I care more about what the Lord thinks of me than anybody else. I care more about what the Lord knows about me than what other people think about me. Here's the Christian who says, you know what? I'm serving Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway is a dokimos. It means disapproved, rejected for the prize. In other words, somewhere you broke the rules, you got off course. Paul's saying, I don't want to tell everybody else how to live and not live it myself. We're running our race on his course, by his rules, in his strength, and we receive his rewards. When we're running for ourselves, we're going to be roller coaster Christians, living up and down at the whim of our feelings. When we are running with our focus on others, then we're going to be rolling pin Christians, alienating others by our condemning spirit and then missing the mark ourselves. When we are running and trying to walk the fence with the world, we will be rolling on the river Christians, compromised with the world and callous to the things of God. But when we are running our race with our focus on Christ and our hearts set on things above, we will glorify God, we will win others, and we'll receive our rewards in glory. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian have you been? Have you been a roller coaster Christian? Can't really depend on you because we never know if you're going to be up or down. We never know where you're going to be, what you're going to be about. Are you a rolling pin Christian? You've got the answer for everybody. And you know how everybody else should live, and you're going to make sure they know you know, and you're going to tell them. You're a rolling pin Christian. Or maybe you're a rolling on the river Christian. You just don't really care. Ain't worth it. Or are you a risen with Christ Christian? Christian who's going to keep their eyes on Jesus, their affections set on things above, and run their race for the glory of God, for the salvation of the lost, and for the edification of the believers. What kind of Christian will you be? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Probably as we went over these four different kinds of Christians, you might have known someone in each of these categories. Maybe you yourself are in one of these categories. But you know, when I read the Bible, I have not found the Lord mentioning examining others. But I have noticed he did say examine yourselves. It's when we examine others that we find their flaws. But it's when we examine ourselves that we find our own flaws, our own faults, that can be corrected by confession to Christ and conforming to the Word. Have you been an up-and-down Christian? Have you been more judgmental and critical and demanding than is profitable? Have you been willing to compromise and capitulate in order not to rock the boat? Maybe it's time to get your eyes back on Jesus and your heart back into heaven. Now, maybe you're here today or watching or listening. Please don't be confused by Christians. We are, after all, sinners saved by grace. And we do not hold ourselves up, but we point to Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have known the truth of Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we have recognized the truth of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we've turned to Jesus for our salvation. And we realize the truth of Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we've placed our faith in the only Savior, the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our soul and the gift of eternal life. And this is what we ask you to do as well. Today. Right now. To trust Christ, the same Christ we've trusted. To receive the same forgiveness we have received and to have the free gift of eternal life by simply believing on the Lord Jesus. And maybe today there's someone here in this room that would say, preacher, I need to do that. I need to trust Christ. I've seen some Christians, and some were good and some were bad, and some were up and some were down. And I've been confused. But don't be confused about Jesus. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee if you trust him as your Savior. He'll never let you down. And maybe today you say, I need Jesus as my Savior. Would you lift your hand up? Just slip it up. Let me see it. I want to pray for you. I won't name your name or call you out. I just want to see if there's anybody here I could pray for you. Say, preacher, I need Christ. I need to be saved. And I know it. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who came to earth, became a man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, gave himself on the cross as the sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. We thank you that he shed his blood to pay for our sins and was buried and rose again from the dead and has the power and authority to offer all the free gift of salvation by grace through faith in what he has done. And I pray, my Lord, if there's anyone in this room needs to be saved, they would take care of it before they leave. If there's anybody watching or listening, my Father, that they might stop whatever they're doing and they might come to terms with Christ and realize they're the sinner and he's the Savior. There's nothing they can do to save their soul but to trust in the one who paid the price. And Father, I pray for every Christian here and everyone watching and listening that, Lord, we also would look at ourselves and say, have I been one of these kind of the first three? And do I need to be more the fourth? Looking unto Jesus with my affection set above. There's changes need to be made. Confessions need to take place. Directions need to be turned. I pray you'd help us to do it for your glory and for those who watch on and listen on, that they might see Jesus in us. Help us now, my Father. Bless the invitation as only you can, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 310. As we sing this hymn, perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart. And maybe there's something you heard or something you saw that you needed to hear, you needed to see. Something the Lord brought to your attention and you need to come and pray about it. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and say, Lord, here am I. I just want to be whatever you want me to be and I want to do whatever you want me to do and I'll go wherever you want me to go. Maybe this morning you've been one of those first three. And you know it. Maybe this morning you come and say, I want to be the fourth. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus and my heart in heaven. That'll keep your feet on the path. As we sing, you respond as the Lord leads. Thank you.
feet grow weary, and I stumble through the thorns and sifting sand. But I never have a fear about tomorrow, for I'm led by the Master's hand. Through the storm, through the night, I'll keep holding on, with His hand holding mine. Hope is never gone. When I climb the last mile to heaven's land, I'll be led by the Master's hand. Through the valley of despair, though I may wander, on the highest mountain top I soon shall stand. And I'll never walk alone, for my heart tells me I'll be led by the Master's hand. Through the storm, through the night, I'll keep holding on, with His hand holding mine. Hope is never gone. When I climb the last mile to heaven's land,
amen. Thank you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this morning, please, with me. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, if you would, while you're turning there. We do want to welcome those visiting with us today. We're glad to have Dakota with us and his mom. We're glad to have Becky here as well. Good to have you today. Thank you for coming, being part of our service. I want you to know you're always welcome. All right, we are in Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 and 2, and you can follow with me in your Bible, if you would, please. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. As we come together today in this place that you've graciously and generously provided for us, we come to praise you and to sing songs to your name, to your glory. We come to pray and we come to hear the word of God, and we come, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak, and the heart of every person here, every person watching, every person listening. Lord, we might glean from your word that which would be profitable to us as Christians, helpful to those around us, and glorifying to you. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your truth, and that, Father, we'd be challenged and would be changed, would be convicted, and would be comforted. I just pray that you'll do that which is pleasing in your sight. We give you all the glory and all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here likens, or the writer of the Hebrews, I have believed it was Paul. There are many reasons for that. There's some dispute about that among Bible scholars, but not being a scholar, I guess I can just give my opinion. But the Word of God likens the Christian life to a race. The starting line is salvation. The finish line is glory. In between is the race. Now, we've heard about setting aside those things which slow us down and hinder our progress. We've heard about running a race with patience, and we've heard about the course, the race that is set before each one of us by the Lord Himself. You are running your race. We've heard about staying in the lane. We've heard about running according to the rules. But today, I want to look at running the race while looking unto Jesus. He is our example. He is our motivation. He is our standard. But He needs to also be our focal point. We need to keep our eye on the road, so to speak. Have you ever missed a turn? Have you ever passed by your destination? It's usually because we got distracted. Or maybe we weren't paying attention. We were in the right direction. We were close to where we wanted to be, but somehow we got distracted and missed a turn. We went by that place we were going to stop at. Well, the Scripture tells us that we need to be sober and vigilant and awake while we run our race, because there are obstacles and opponents and obstructions to go through and to go around. Like an orchestra has to keep its eye on the conductor, and the athlete has to keep his eye on the coach, the Christian needs to keep his eye on Christ. The world is full of distractions that tempt us to get our eyes off of Jesus while running our race. And the Holy Spirit is admonishing these Hebrew believers to run their race right to the middle, right in the middle, in between that race, between glory and between salvation. And He places these two verses in between a great list of heroes of the faith from Abel to David in chapter 11. And now in chapter 12, following these two verses, He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as an example. Now in our race, we're told to look unto Jesus in verse 2 of chapter 12, and we're told to consider Him in verse 3. We look unto Jesus for everything. We need Him in order to run our race. We need Him in order to fight the fight. We need Him in order to keep the faith. And as I was meditating on this, I thought of different kinds of runners or Christians that I have seen and known in my years in the ministry. I looked at myself and at them and wondered why we're so often get off the course. Why we're so often the cause of missteps. And sometimes we affect others. Sometimes we have detours and wasted energy while running our race. And I realized that there are different kinds of Christians. And what makes them different is that upon which they are focused. And so if you would allow me, I want us to ask ourselves today, what kind of Christian am I as I run this race? And what kind of Christian do I want to be? And so as we look at these different kind of Christians, we'll ask ourselves those questions. The first Christian that I want to look at today, I have labeled the roller coaster Christian. By roller coaster Christians, I mean a Christian whose Christian life is up and down, and up, and down, and up, and down, in widely varying directions. They can be on fire for the Lord, and then they can be as cold as a clam for God. They're up, and man, they're up. But when they're down, they're down. They will live for God and come to church and get involved, and then you won't see or hear from them for who knows how long. You can't really count on them for any length of time because you don't know how long they will be on the up part of the roller coaster or when they'll start careening down into the bottom of the roller coaster. When they're up, they have joy. When they're down, they're discouraged. When they're up, they witness. When they're down, they're silent. When they're up, they serve. And when they're down, they disappear. When they're up, they look right, sound right, and live right. And when they're down, they don't. When they're up, their countenance is bright. But when they're down, it is dark. They go from positive to negative to positive again. Now, we praise the Lord for them when they're up, and we need to pray for them when they're down. But what might be the problem? The problem, I believe, is who or what they're looking unto. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. Right after the Bible says running our race, it says looking unto Jesus. I found that often the problem is with roller coaster Christians that they're focused on themselves and not on Christ. They're looking unto themselves and not unto Jesus. They follow their feelings, their instincts, their conscience, or their hearts. They've taken on the philosophies like this: let your conscience be your guide. Or trust your instincts. Or if it feels good, do it. Or just follow your heart. And that's a clear prescription for roller coaster Christianity. When it comes to instincts, the great prophet Hosea said, "And my people are bent to backsliding." Your instincts aren't going to take you up to higher ground. When it comes to the heart, the great prophet Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When it comes to the conscience, the Bible says that the natural man's conscience is defiled in Titus, it's evil in Hebrews 10, and it is seared in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when it comes to feeling, the born-again Christian is not to be dependent on what he or she feels, but on what he or she knows from the Word of God. If we're going to go by instinct, heart, conscience, and feelings, is it any wonder we can be up one day and down the next day? The Bible never asks, "Don't you feel it?" The Bible always asks, "Don't you know it?" The Bible doesn't ask us to feel, the Bible asks us to know. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may feel." No, that you may know that you are the sons of God. When we live by our feelings, life will be a roller coaster and it will be a confusing thing to those who are unsaved and watching. Because one day, you'll be talking about Jesus, you'll be witnessing for Jesus, and the next day, they can't even tell you're a Christian. Why? Because one day you felt saved, the next day you didn't feel saved. One day, your heart was full of joy because of your circumstances and situations, the next day, it isn't because things have changed. You following me? This Christian's focus is themselves, and they're regulated by their own subjective feelings. When we're focused on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we are on a sure foundation and securely standing on a solid rock. When we're on the sure foundation of Christ and we're on the solid rock, my dear friends, we won't be up and down and up and down. I know everybody has some ups and downs, amen, it's life. But is your Christian life like this? Or is it like this? The second Christian I want to look at tonight. Today, the first one was the roller coaster Christian. But the second one I call the rolling pin Christian. You know, there are some who are what I call rolling pin Christians. This is, they're always carrying around a rolling pin to hit someone else on the head with it. We have a God, but their God is the God who's out to get you. That's their philosophy of Christianity. They look at God as someone who just is waiting for you to step out of line, just waiting for you to make a mistake, just waiting for you to mess up so he can hit you with a rolling pin. They have the sons of thunder mentality, calling down lightning from heaven on other people. They generally see the negative and the faults and the failures and the foibles and the shortcomings of others. Always looking at the dark side of the cloud. They see everything, every misfortune as God's judgment. They ascribe the worst motives first without any knowledge, understanding, insight, compassion, or all the facts. They see everything as God's judgment or God's some kind of God's punishment. I've known some who even say, like, if you ever get the flu, it's God's punishment. If you ever get sick, it's God's punishment. If you ever fall down and break a leg, it's God's punishment. Rolling pin Christians, you've probably met some like that. One time there was a lady in our church, she got cancer. And a guy told me, well, she must be wrong with God. She's got to have some big sin in her life or she wouldn't have got cancer. That's a rolling pin Christian. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 says, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. God never promised us we wouldn't have troubles. God never promised us we wouldn't have afflictions. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we don't get sick. It doesn't mean we don't stub our toes or break an ankle from time to time. But the rolling pin Christian wants to use that as an opportunity to whack you with the punishment and judgment of God. They usually see themselves as the paragon of virtue and the pinnacle of spirituality, in whom is deposited all biblical knowledge and wisdom. There are more law and judgment Christians than they are mercy and grace Christians. They lose sight of God's love and His forgiveness and long-suffering, preferring to see the God of Mount Sinai more than the God of Mount Calvary. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, the rolling pin Christian says, when you're out of fellowship with God, He's going to beat you back into fellowship. But you know what the Bible says? Sometimes the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. The focus of the rolling pin Christian is others, especially their failures. And they feel that it is their ministry and duty to straighten you out. And they like to play Holy Spirit. It's easier to see the faults in others than the faults in ourselves, isn't it? It's easier to tell everyone else how to live than to live it ourselves. It's easier to inform others as to what they should do and how they should do it than actually do it. When we're focused on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we will find Him plenteous in mercy and glorious in grace. And we will hold out our hand in loving help instead of reaching out with a rolling pin to put them in their place. And so there is the roller coaster Christian, living on their feelings. There's the rolling pin Christian that's just waiting for you to mess up so they can correct you and pronounce the judgment of God on you and maybe call lightning out of heaven. But then number three, there's the rolling on the river Christians. Now picture, if you will, a raft on a calm and slow-flowing river on a warm and sunny afternoon. There's no waves, no ripples. The sun's not too hot and a nice gentle breeze is blowing. Don't you all want to be there? And don't you all want to live there? But you can't live there because that's not reality, is it? But rolling on the river Christians are those who do not want to make any waves. They don't want to encounter any storms. They don't want to have any inconveniences in their life. Therefore, they will compromise and capitulate in order not to rock the boat. They have the philosophy of go with the flow. Leave good enough alone. When in Rome, hey, it's the 21st century. Or, if you can't beat them, join them. They would rather give in than stand up. They would rather acquiesce than assert. They're willing to be politically correct, culturally accepting, and worldly indulgent. But Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That word weary, a synonym for that word is tired. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of doing what's good. "For in due season ye shall reap if we faint not." That's an interesting word, that word faint. It actually means to relax the bow. And so it's a picture of an archer who has his bow pulled back. And when you first pull it back, not so bad. The first couple of seconds, not so bad. But the longer you hold that bow pulled back, the harder it gets and the more tension starts to mount. And pretty soon you get tired of holding back that bow. And you want to just let it loose. And that's what that picture is. That as Christians, we can't get weary in the well-doing. We can't let loose. We can't just give up. We can't give in. We don't acquiesce. We don't compromise. If we're going to live the Christian life, there's going to be tension. There's going to be tension between the flesh and the spirit. There's going to be tension between right and wrong. There's going to be tension between the world and the Word. Listen to this quote of Oprah Winfrey. Now, this is her philosophy, and this is what the Rolling on the River Christian, this would be a philosophy that they could go along with. "Move with the flow. Don't fight the current. Resist nothing." There are Christians who live like that. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, go with the flow."
Stand.
Here's what the Apostle James says. "Resist the devil." You see, the Christian who's a Rolling on the River Christian is focused on the world instead of the Lord Jesus. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to rock any boats. They don't want to have any confrontation. They don't want to have any tension. And therefore, they're willing to be silent or compromised or capitulate. When our focus is on the Lord Jesus and His Word, we'll see the power and majesty of God to change and sustain in order that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So here we have this Christian who is the roller coaster Christian, and sometimes they're up for the Lord, sometimes they're down for the Lord. Sometimes they're back up for the Lord, sometimes they're down for the Lord. Then you have the rolling pin Christian. They're always on the prowl, waiting to put you in your place. Then you have the rolling on the river Christian. They don't care, man. Everything's cool. Hey, don't worry about it. Let's just have unity. Let's just have peace, man. But then, number four, we have the risen with Christ Christian. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. The risen with Christ Christians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are" where? "Above." Where who? Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory." The Apostle Paul's saying to the Colossians, he said, "Hey, listen, get your focus where it needs to be. Be looking where you're supposed to look and seeing what you're supposed to see. One day Jesus is coming, and we're going to be with Him in glory for all eternity. He came and saved us by His grace. We were sinners on our way to hell, and God saved us by His grace through the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood to pay for our sins, being buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, so that all who would place their faith in Him could be forgiven and washed and made the children of God and spend eternity in glory. Paul the Apostle is trying to help us understand that if that's the case with you, then you ought to be seeking those things which are above. Your affections ought to be set on things above. I don't know what you think you owe the world, but I know what I owe Jesus. I don't know what the world has for me, but I know what Jesus has for me. Here's the Christian who runs his or her race with their eyes on Jesus. Here's the Christian who has set his or her affections on things above. Here is the Christian who is looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's the Christian who's walking in the light as He is in the light. Here's the Christian who is showing forth the praises of Him who hath called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. When our eyes are on ourselves or on others or on the world, is it any wonder we so easily get off course in running our race? Listen, we each have our own race to run. And we are running it for ourselves. It's your race. Your race is your race. And we're running it, really, for Jesus, aren't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now listen to what Paul says. "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself. But yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Colossians 3:24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." You see this Christian? This Christian is saying, you know what? I care more about what the Lord thinks of me than anybody else. I care more about what the Lord knows about me than what other people think about me. Here's the Christian who says, you know what? I'm serving Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." The word castaway is a dokimos. It means disapproved, rejected for the prize. In other words, somewhere you broke the rules, you got off course. Paul's saying, I don't want to tell everybody else how to live and not live it myself. We are running our race on His course, by His rules, in His strength, and we receive His rewards. When we're running for ourselves, we're going to be roller coaster Christians, living up and down at the whim of our feelings. When we are running with our focus on others, then we're going to be rolling pin Christians, alienating others by our condemning spirit and then missing the mark ourselves. When we are running and trying to walk the fence with the world, we will be rolling on the river Christians, compromised with the world and callous to the things of God. But when we are running our race with our focus on Christ and our hearts set on things above, we will glorify God, we will win others, and we'll receive our rewards in glory. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian have you been? Have you been a roller coaster Christian? Can't really depend on you because we never know if you're going to be up or down. We never know where you're going to be, what you're going to be about. Are you a rolling pin Christian? You've got the answer for everybody. And you know how everybody else should live, and you're going to make sure they know you know, and you're going to tell them. You're a rolling pin Christian. Or maybe you're a rolling on the river Christian. You just don't really care. Ain't worth it. Or are you a risen with Christ Christian? Christian who's going to keep their eyes on Jesus, their affections set on things above, and run their race for the glory of God, for the salvation of the lost, and for the edification of the believers. What kind of Christian will you be? Let's bow for a word of prayer.